Our mission team got back last night. I think most of us got in bed probably about 1 o'clock in the morning, or at least to our homes at 1 in the morning. But we had an outstanding week, and you're going to hear from some on that team here in just a moment. But I wanted to tell you just some base things about the trip. We left this past Monday, and we spent the last several days going into some villages, different villages around Belize, where Mike, one of the missionaries that we've been connected with down there, has been doing some work in some churches that have some existing churches that are there, some other churches that are just getting off the ground and getting going, and even a place where there's a group of believers that are gathering for Bible study, but they don't have a pastor, and they're meeting in someone's home, and things are getting started in that location as well. And so our intent was to go down. And we had one goal, one purpose. We were seeking the lost. We weren't going to build a building. This trip wasn't about going to train others in discipleship. Some of the trips that are coming up will certainly be about that. But this goal for this, the goal for this trip was to go down there and find those that God was calling to salvation, to go and to share this good news of Jesus Christ. And our team did an outstanding job. I'm very proud of every one of them. I think that they learned a lot, and I think that I know that God worked through them in some great ways. And so I'm going to ask our team to come and join me on stage now. And as they're making their way up, I'm going to get the microphones ready for them. And you're going to get to hear from them this morning about the work that God did and how much more there is still to be done. Mitch, I'm going to let you hold one. Pastor Thomas, I'll let you hold the other one. Should be on and ready to go. So the reason that we do this, when we read in Acts chapter 14, at the end of Paul's missionary journey, he comes back to Antioch, and Luke tells us that he gathered the church together, and they told them everything that God had done. And so it's good for us to come back to let you know what God has done through this team, because these are the people from Fairway who went, minus Miss Carol, who's back at work this morning. But you helped to make this possible through your prayers and also through the gift that you give to Fairway helped make it possible for us to have transportation and other things to do ministry down there. So what I want to do is just start off with letting the team kind of give you their impressions of the trip and kind of an overview of what went on. So Mitch, would you mind sharing that with the church?
I'd love to. I think the biggest thing that I took away as I came back and reflected on this was how much I needed to have done this. And I didn't realize it until I got back and thought about it. But to unplug my cell phone for a week, to step away from emails and a really busy life, and to go to a place where I'm not comfortable, and I don't know what's ahead of me, and wait on God was something my heart really, really needed. To step into someone else's world that was full of abject poverty was an awesome heart check. We walked into homes where people thatched their roofs with palm fronds that they found in the woods. Many of them lived the same way their ancestors probably did 500 years ago. They cooked over open stoves or open fires. They dug holes in the ground so water could come up. It also happened to be where water runoff went into, and they drank from it. It happened to be where chickens and ducks and turkeys were wandering around, and kids were running around barefoot in the mud. And many of them didn't even have a concrete floor in their homes. And so it was good to reflect on how much God has given us and how much responsibility we have with what we've been given. But there was great spiritual poverty there, too. Now, there were plenty of churches around, and we know missionaries have been there. But it was incredible to run into the number of people who acknowledged there was a God, but had no idea what it took to get to heaven. Or who knew about Jesus, but hadn't made a decision for him, or knew how to articulate what Jesus required of us to enter heaven. And so to step in that world and to see it changed me on the inside. I knew it would, but I didn't realize how much I needed it. And the other thing that surprised me was how welcoming the people down there were. The people had nothing, but yet you stepped into their house or called to them from the street, they would welcome you into their house, share with you what they had, and sit and listen. Unlike us, whose schedule is filled every second and we're going all the time, they had time to sit and talk and listen. And that was incredible to see and to share, to get to be a part of that world. The other thing that was awesome to see was to connect with believers down there who had nothing, who had windows cut out of their home with nothing in it. They had three or four dirty mattresses stacked up in a corner that they slept on, and many of them didn't know where their next meal was coming from or if they'd get to eat that day. And yet they had a joy that can be tough to find here sometimes when we surround our lives with stuff and things and busyness. And so to see Christ in them like he's in us here was a huge encouragement to me as well. And so I'm sure you'll hear more about all that and specific stories, but I think those are some of my big takeaways.
Thanks, Mitch. You can see just a couple of the pictures that I had put up there for you. The first one, this is a well. This is where they get water out of. And if you look off to the side, you can see the rainwater that's there. And dogs, chickens running around, and everything that goes on the ground runs right off into that water. In fact, the woman that drank out of this well, I believe, was sick. The house that we visited was running a fever, and it's very possible that it came from this well. Just some of the conditions in which they live. Pastor Thomas, why don't you share your overview of the trip and your expectations and then what happened. And
definitely. Well, this was not my first time to another country on a mission trip. I've been to Mexico several years ago, and so going into the villages and seeing how they lived and seeing the poverty was nothing new to me, but it's always a constant reminder of the blessings that God has given us here in America and the things that we take for granted on a daily basis. I think for me, what I needed to be reminded of is to trust God's plan and not my own. I'm a planner, and although my wife would probably tell you otherwise, I like orderly, and I try to do things by the book, and I like to have a plan laid out. I don't do this whole vacation and not have a plan. It's like, this is what we're doing this time, you know. And so God completely just kind of blew that up this week on me, as we had plans, and they constantly changed. And a lot of times in my frustration, God just said, be quiet and listen to my voice, and I will lead you where you need to go. And he did that on numerous occasions, and it was just a joy and a blessing to see what God can do when we set aside our agenda and we set aside our plans and we follow his voice. And it was a great reminder, and we'll share some more stories about that coming up. But that was, I think that was the most, or the biggest thing that God taught me, was just to follow his agenda and not my own.
Yeah. What's the number one rule of missions?
Be flexible. Bend
and flex. Be ready for things to change. Yeah, so you go with these expectations and you get down there and you're expecting God to do things, and sometimes he does what you expect. Sometimes you get down there and it's something completely different. And I know that everyone on here on the stage has got multiple stories that they could share about what God did throughout those 5 days. But what I've asked them to do is to find that one story that they really want to share with you, and just as an evidence of how God worked through their lives to touch someone down there. The whole reason, whole purpose for getting on the plane and going, the thing that just felt like, I can go home now. The trip's been made. So, Sarah, would you like to go first on that? Could you grab the microphone from Pastor Thomas?
So, most of you know my heart for women in women's ministry. And so, my two things are going to be contrast believer that I was able to go and just encourage. She was a widow, and we went. She spoke no English, so there was barriers there. But there was one thing we had in common, was that sisterhood in Christ. She was very, very poor, had a house full of kids, and actually even had a girlfriend there who was not a believer. Her name was was Louisa, and when I walked in, her face was so full of joy. It's like you could tell instantly that she was happy to see me, and she didn't even know me. And we were obviously very different, but that didn't matter to her. And so you can see here in the picture, wish her smile had translated. It didn't in the picture, but it was just beaming when I saw her. And so I was asked to encourage her as a sister in Christ, and really didn't know what to say, and it was awkward, but we were able to get past that, and we were able to just talk about herself and her children, and we were able to pray together, two voices, different languages, the same time. And it was very amazing to know that we were able to do that, not even being able to understand one another. She definitely spoke to me without speaking any words that I could understand. And so we were able to hug, and as I was hugging her as we were leaving, she just was weeping. And she continued to pray more. And again, I had no idea what was going on, but I knew I was being blessed by her, even though we were coming to her to give a blessing. And so we were able to encourage this woman. She did ask me, the one thing she asked for prayer was, or two things, was for her son, who was not a believer, and for her tamale business, because she is a widow. She's providing for herself, and she needed people to buy her tamales.
Now, Sarah, I've got two different pictures of you and her. So here's the one after you prayed where she was hugging you and praying and crying.
Here she's praying, yes.
And then there's the picture of the two of you together. What's different?
Oh, yes. Thank you. So after we were done, I didn't know he had taken the other picture because it was just me and her. We didn't even know the translator was there, but I was unaware of him because we were just together in that moment, speaking and not understanding each other, but the Lord knew. And so when we were done, I asked her, can I take a photo with you? And she said she agreed, but she went behind this partition, and I asked the translator where she went. He said she had to fix her hair. You know, you girls know we need to fix our hair. But then she changed her shirt too. So she had to get ready for the photo. And we can all understand that as women. That's right. So then the next comparison I wanted to share was one of the days our plan had gotten changed. We were supposed to go one place, and it didn't work out, so we ended up making a new plan. And we ended up walking around a poor area of Punta Gorda, which is in the southern area of Belize. And we had walked to about four or five houses, and we were handing out bags of rice and beans to people and just talking to them and sharing with them. We had went down, my group, it was Pastor Thomas and Cody and myself, and we had finished our street that we were on, and we still had one bag left, one bag of rice and beans. And the other group, we didn't see them, so we needed to find another house. And so to the right, there was no houses, and across the street was where the other group had went, and we didn't want to go either of those places, so we went to the left, and the first house there was this pink house, and there was a woman sitting on the porch, and she was doing some sewing, I think, and so we walked up to her, and we said hello, and we told her we'd like to talk to her about Jesus, and she says, Jesus, come through the gate, and so we went around the gate, opened up the gate, and she says, come sit next to me, so I sat down with her, and we just started talking about Christ. I asked her what it meant to her if she had known about Christ, and she says, yes. And I said, okay, so well then what do you think it means to be a Christian? And she says, so well, it just means to be kind. And so that allowed me to then share that it was much more than that, and that in ourselves we can't be kind enough ever, and that we need Christ. And it's through him that that we are able to do things we weren't able to do before. And so I shared with her the whole gospel message. And I asked her, I said, so is this something that you believe and that you understand? And she says, yes. And I said, so would you like to receive Christ to be your Savior? And she says, yes. And so this is Dominga. she received Christ as her Savior that day. And what was interesting is, and this is, if I can, the one thing I took away.
Okay.
I shared this same gospel presentation to another woman the very last day we were there. Exact same presentation. And as easily as Dominga received it, the other woman just stared blankly at me and did not receive it. And it made me know that it's not my words and it's not me who draws them, but it's only God's Spirit that draws them to Himself. And so that was what I took away from the trip.
Could I add one thing onto that?
Sure.
So just kind of like what I said earlier about listening to God's voice, Domingo was not on our plans. She was not supposed to be spoken with. Her house was not supposed to be gone to. And we had a specific amount of rice and beans. And we had shared the gospel down that one street, like Sarah had said. And there was one family in particular that I just was looking at them and looking at their housing situation. And I just really felt God say, don't give them food. And so I didn't. And because I did not give them food, we got to speak with Dominga. And so she wasn't part of the plan, but like I said, God's plans are not our own. We need to listen to His leading.
Yeah, that was the day that the team got up expecting to go back into the jungle, into a village where a church was being built. In fact, they were putting the roof on the church that day. And we got back there, and heavy rain hit, and the guys were going to be working to try to finish the roof, and so translators weren't available, and things just kind of got blown up for the day, and we had to come up with something else to do. So rather than sit around the hotel or sit on the beach and pout, we said, you know, you look in Acts and you see what the disciples did. They just walked off into some villages and places they had never been before and started talking to people about Christ. And so that's what our team did, and some incredible things happened on that day. So I think there were two that day that heard the gospel and responded to it. So that was good. Dakota, you got to take your whole family with you. You had them all down there the whole time. And why don't you just share with everybody what that was like and kind of what you got out of that and what how God spoke in your life while you were down there with your family.
First of all, I was just, I'm thankful to be able to take my whole family to allow the boys at their ages to be able to experience a different culture, see things that they may take for granted on a daily basis that I can almost guarantee they won't take advantage. Situation and the huts that they lived in, and how we talk about, oh, there's nothing to eat in the house, but literally we have the comfort to get up and walk from the living room to the kitchen, and the temperature doesn't change, and the rain doesn't hit your head, and things like that. But yet there's still food in the house. God provides it. Sunday school wasn't attested to that this morning, and it is. Being able to give that experience to my family was a blessing in itself. But God is not just alive in Fairway Baptist Church in Wichita Falls, Texas. God is alive in the jungles of the East. There is a lot of spiritual poverty, as Mitch said, but God is also alive and working in every little village that we want to be down there. The pastors, the passion that the local pastors have that Mike has recruited in to build churches and to reach their villages and their communities with the good news of Jesus Christ is amazing. And to be able to have a voice see that firsthand, to have Sarah see that firsthand, her passion for women's ministry is just amazing to me. And to be able to see her share that same passion with the women who believe is amazing. So the biggest thing that I got out of that then is allow my family to experience that. And for them to realize that God's not just alive in Texas, but He's alive across the whole globe.
Yeah, there were times where Sarah would all but push me out of the way to get you the first one into the house, so that was fun to watch her.
And that's another thing, that most of the time during the day when we went to visit these families, the men were out working, so the only people home were women, so that gave Sarah the opportunity to visit. Even we went to this one house, and Sarah talking to her, she was still a little shy, and come to find out, this was a 15-year-old girl and her little sister who had to stay at home. She couldn't go to school because her parents worked in the farm and worked on their farm, so she had to stay at home with her daughter. But once we backed away, she opened up and was able to talk with Sarah a little more and not be so shy. So the men kind of had to back away from that change and having her there.
That's the girl that he's talking about right there.
That is Linda and her little sister, Clara. Yeah.
Well, Mitch, why don't you tell us that moment that God, you're just like, this is it. This is one of the reasons I came. This is the high point.
If you're on Facebook, you may have seen this picture that Amber posted. But let me give you the backstory. It was that same day in Punta Gorda, so that's on the very southern coast. The front part of the city is along the beach, and it's gorgeous. If you were planted there, you would think you were somewhere on the coast in Florida, and you didn't know that back behind you was abject poverty. So it's a gorgeous location if you want to come next year, by the way. But we decided we weren't going to let that day go to waste, even though rain and conditions had frustrated us. And so we grabbed the bags of rice and said, let's go see what God can do. And so we split up, and I was with Pastor Tim and Dylan. And we're walking the streets, knocking on doors, and it was amazing to see people respond to Christ. Even some of them who heard the gospel and said, yes, that's true, I believe it, but I'm not ready to give up my sin. And so, you know, we prayed with them and said, hey, consider Christ. Please come to him before it's too late, because you don't know when tomorrow's is going to be your last day. And it was neat to be able to do that and to see God convicting people. And then a little further on down the street, three or four houses later, we had a woman and her two grandchildren who knew about Jesus but had no idea what it took to get to heaven and didn't know she'd be there. And we explained to her what it took and what the Bible said, and she said, I do believe that, and I want to go to heaven. Will you pray with me? And so we prayed with her, and as best we can tell through the language barrier, she accepted Christ as well. And so that was a huge win, but that wasn't the one that really got me. We had just finished talking to a roofer who was putting a tin roof on a house, and he was pretty convicted as well, but he wasn't ready to give his life to Christ. We left him with some beans and rice, and we went next door to the two women who lived in the house, it was Pastor Tim's turn, so he tried to share, and I've never seen anyone give a pastor an evil eye like that in their life. One woman refused to look at him, just hummed along to the music playing in the background, and the other one looked at the ground and occasionally would glance at him, and it was obvious they did not want us there. And I was thinking to myself, Pastor Tim, give them the beans and rice. Maybe it'll change their heart. And the Holy Spirit told him, nope, they're not receptive. Let's leave. And we left, and we walked down the street, and I was thinking, shoot, I wonder if that would have made a difference. But God had a plan, and he was listening to the Holy Spirit, and because this was our last set of beans and rice. And as we're walking down the street, heading back towards the van, we saw this house that really just looked like an abandoned concrete brick building with no windows, no door, and a bunch of trash inside of it. And as we looked in a little closer, we realized there were people in there, and we said, what the heck, let's go walk up to it and see what happens. And we walked in, and it was a man and a woman, and they said, come in, and the woman was really eager to show us her mother. And I didn't see anyone else in the building, but as I walked in, I saw two old feet sticking out in the doorway, and that was her mother, laying out on a stack of old dirty mattresses that were pitched in the corner. And the old woman sat up, and she was 96 years old. I thought, man, she's not going to be able to hear or process anything we said. And she reached her hand out to me, and she grabbed me, and with the strength of a 20-year-old, she pulled me down to the mattress and said, you sit right here. So I obeyed. And she had this big grin on her face, and she was so excited that we had stopped by to talk to her. And we shared Christ with them, and they said, yes, that's what we believe. We've believed that for years. And they had a Roman Catholic background, but they didn't understand a whole lot about Catholicism. But what they did understood was it took Jesus alone to get to heaven, and that's who they loved. And so with great joy, they responded to our message and said, yes, that's what we believe. And this old woman named Genevieve looked at me and said, you must love Jesus. And she had a Creole accent. And she says, you must pray every morning. I pray to him when I wake up. I pray to him at lunch, and I pray to him when I go to sleep. And she looked at me and goes, you go to a different country? You pray to him too. In other countries. I said, yes, ma'am, I certainly do. God is good. And she said, amen. And she obviously loved Jesus and was a huge encouragement to me. But she didn't just love Jesus. She also loved Pastor Tim, and she looked at him and go, I love that man when I first see him. And then she turned to me and go, I love you too when I first see you. And she reached up and grabbed me by my neck and pulled me down and planted a huge smooch on my cheek.
She
tried to get me to kiss her on the lips, and I just wouldn't
have
that.
Yes, she did.
I don't think I made it out of there with less than about 2 kisses and 3 hugs and about 10 handshakes. And as we left, we said that we prayed for them and said, God bless you. And she said, come back here. And she made me give her one more big, huge hug and kiss me on the cheek. Yeah. And to see, these people had nothing. I looked around the house. I couldn't see any food. They didn't even have a fire going in the corner. They barely had some old chairs to sit on that we probably would have thrown out on the curb. But they loved Jesus, and they were content, and they were excited to share Christ with us. I think that encouraged me more than anything on this trip, to see God working in people's homes no matter where they are. And God used that to work in my heart, too.
Pastor Thomas, why don't you share your moment?
Yeah, so that day in Punta Gorda was a great encouragement to me, too. But another moment that I had was when we were in the village Valley of Peace. And so if you put the picture just of the house in Valley of Peace, Valley of Peace was way off the beaten path. And I think we probably drove down the worst road I've ever been on. I think I need a chiropractor appointment after driving down there. Just an awful road. But we got back there finally. And I was just kind of looking around the village. And this was one of the houses. And so as you can see, just another poor country. Again, inside this house, it's just dirt floors, those old-style cooking stoves that Mitch was talking to you about over a fire. There was some electricity in this village, and so they did have some things, but overall, just a very poverty-stricken community. And so we're walking down the street, and we had just come out of a out of one house. Did I give you the picture of you and Mitch with a gentleman?
Yeah, you did.
So we were in this house with this gentleman, and Pastor Tim and Mitch were, wow, that picture looks backwards from this angle. So Pastor Tim and Mitch were sharing with this gentleman, and he had been laid up in this hammock for a month and a half, and they were able to share the gospel with him. And this is just kind of a side story leading into my big one, but while I was, this is why you don't give a pastor a microphone, by the way. So while we were there, they were sharing with him, and I was just kind of standing there, and I was like, well, I feel like I'm wasting time, you know. And so I stepped out, and when I stepped out, there were two boys standing sitting right outside the bedroom. And I was like, you speak English? And they're like, yeah, kind of. And their kind of was like, yeah, we really speak a lot of English. And so I had a good conversation with them. They were 20 and 18. And so I started sharing the gospel with them. And what was cool about it was I started sharing with them. And it was two of them, but by the time I was done, I had 6 boys that were standing there listening to the gospel. And so it was just really neat to see God just kind of bring them to you when you're sharing. And so they confessed that that's what they believed as well, and so I pray for them that they will. I probably did something foolish, and I gave them my phone number, and so I'll probably rack up some international minutes, I'm sure. But so we left this house, and we're walking down the street, and Mitch and another guy who was down from another church were walking up ahead with the with our interpreter, and I stopped to take a picture of these people playing soccer, and Pastor Tim had stopped back because we had seen a rainbow, and so we were kind of in 3 different ways. So Pastor Tim was there, I had stopped to take this picture, and then Mitch was up ahead with the translator, and I turn around and I'm like, where the heck is Pastor Tim? I mean, he just disappeared. And I was like, well, that's not good, you know? And I mean, I know Trooper Tim can handle himself, but, you know, you don't let a man alone in a mission field. So I was like, well, I'm going to go back and look for Pastor Tim. And so Mitch had looked back, and he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, you go ahead, and I'm going to go find Pastor Tim. And so I turn around, and I start walking back, and I'd walked back probably about 5 houses, and I saw him talking to these 2 girls. And so I was like, well, I'm going to go sit and just be with him and just offer support and pray for him while he's sharing this gospel. And I'm there, and he's talking to this girl named Sandy. And Sandy was there with another girl who was wanting nothing to do with it. I mean, and she was trying her hardest to distract everything. And so, I mean, she was in and out of the house, like kind of, you know, kind of huffing and puffing. And even, like, got on the motorcycle that was right there. And I was like, goodness gracious. And so, and Pastor Tim's trying to share the gospel with this girl named Sandy. And you could just see the conviction on Sandy's heart and on her face. And she had asked, he had been sharing, I've never seen a man use Noah's Ark and the rainbow as a way to share the gospel, but he did. And so he's sharing the gospel with her, and you can just see the conviction. And at one point she said, baptism doesn't save you. And Pastor Tim said, no. And she just was like, oh. You know, and her heart just broke. And in the meanwhile, like, all of these distractions. I mean, this girl, this dude came out from inside. There's, like, chickens running around. There's kids running up and down. There's a lady walking a cow. Hey, who walks a cow? So I just started praying. And I was just like, Lord, I know you want to do something with this girl. I see the conviction on her face. Would you please just get rid of all these distractions so that she can hear this gospel message? And you know what happened? They all went away. Like, the girl left. She didn't come back. The chickens stopped coming around. The children stopped running around. And he was able to share with her in peace. And it was just a good reminder to me that God answers our prayers. You know, because I know a lot of times we sit there and we're like, God doesn't listen, God doesn't care. But when you're in God's will and you're trying to do something for His glory, He does listen. And so, I mean, just, I've never had a prayer answered in 2 seconds. But God just was like, whoop, and they were gone. The distractions were gone. And so Pastor Tim continued to share with Sandy. And you know how I talked about following God's leading and being flexible, right? Which is not something I'm not very good at, but if you don't know Pastor Tim, it's something he's definitely not good at. And so he's definitely by the book. Sandy wasn't on our list, and literally we had a list, okay? We went to this village, and we were given a list of 10 houses of sick people to go visit. And so we split that list in half, and Pastor Tim and Mitch and I were given one list, and the Terrys were given one list, and Carol was dealing with some health issues with some of the church folks. And, you know, I turned around and Pastor Tim had disappeared, and this lady wasn't on our list at all. And he told her, he said, Sandy, and just kind of gave me chills just sitting there listening to it. He said, Sandy, I don't believe in coincidences. And she said, neither do I. And he said, I was given a list of houses to go visit, and you weren't on that list. And you know what? This wasn't even Sandy's house. She was just at a friend's house. And he said, I stopped to take a picture of a rainbow because it was over your house. And he said, that rainbow is a sign of God's promise, right? That He would never flood the earth again. And it stopped over this house. And so he had stopped to take a picture of it, and she sent a little girl out to ask him what he was doing. And he's like, I'm taking a picture of a rainbow. And he's like, do you know what that means? And she's like, I don't know. And she's like, I really don't care. She asked about it, you know? And so she points to Sandy. Of course, she starts laughing, and Pastor Tim was able to go over. And he said, you weren't on our list, and a rainbow stopped over your house, and you were curious about what I was doing. And it led me to be able to come over here and share this gospel with you. And so he used that rainbow to share the gospel. And Sandy broke down, and she was Catholic and raised Catholic. And she said, I don't agree with anything my family does. And she said, that's not what I agree with. And she even said, I believe baptism comes after you profess. And Pastor Tim asked her, he said, have you ever professed this? She said, no. And she told us, she said, I feel like I have no purpose in this life. And it was just incredible to see God work in her life. And in that moment, after he had shared the gospel and we had explained to her what Jesus had done, he said, would you like to receive this? And she said, yes. And she closed her eyes and she prayed a prayer. And that girl accepted Christ on that porch.
Prayed on her own.
She prayed on her own. She accepted Christ. And when she did, and she said amen, she looked at us and she just smiled. And so she had been kind of downcast the whole time. And she just smiled at us. And Tim
Pastor Tim said, "How do you feel?" She said, "I feel good." And it was just a great joy to be there to experience that moment when God called someone out of hell's grasp and added him to his kingdom. And so it was crazy. Great moment.
There are some moments you're going through life and you're wondering, does God want me to share with this person? When there's a rainbow painted across the sky, there's not really much wondering. I mean, it was pretty much obvious. Yeah, that's it. I mean, that was just one of those moments. And he was just talking about it now. I'm getting chills just thinking about it, that God would do something like that with us on that trip. It was a really incredible time. So would you go again?
Yes.
Yeah. Not so sure? Oh, okay. Mitch, what would you say? Now, you know, we want to encourage everyone that's a member of Fairway to be active in missions and to go. And we've got this opportunity in Belize. We've got an opportunity coming up in Baltimore, three opportunities in Baltimore. And God's possibly even opening the door for some other things, opportunities for us in the years ahead. And I know there's doubts, there's concerns, there's, you know, what's it, the different culture and all those types of things, any fears that people may have. But what would you say to someone that's sitting out there who has not done this before and is thinking, there's no way I can do this? What would you say to them?
I would say, don't listen to those fears. Listen to God calling you to do his work. The fields are ripe for harvest, and Belize is a really easy place to go. It's like a 2.5-hour flight from Houston. There's no time change. The people speak English, most of them. You get in the back villages, there's some Kachi and some Spanish, but predominantly English is the main language that many people speak, and for the times where there's not, we can find interpreters. And I'll tell you this, if you've gone out to 2411 and knocked on doors here in Wichita Falls and shared the gospel, you can do it in Belize. It is way easier to do it in Belize, where people are interested to hear what you have to say. They're welcoming you into their home. Even if they disagree, they're very gentle and soft-spoken. And most of all, they need Christ, and many of them are looking for him. So I would encourage you to go. The food's pretty good, too, by the way. And Pastor Tim made sure that we got fed every single meal. So, you might have to go to the bathroom in a spot that's a little different from what you've done in the past. But aside from that, that's about it. You can do this. It's easy. And it's awesome. Oh, by the way, if you're a Spanish speaker out there, there's an influx of immigrants coming in to where we found it was Bella Vista?
Yes.
Buena Vista? Bella Vista is in the middle of the country, and there's a bunch of people from Honduras and Guatemala coming into the country because there's no more land for folks, especially in Guatemala, and they're immigrating in, and many of them are obviously very poor, but they don't know the gospel either. And if you speak Spanish, we need you, and they need you. So I highly recommend considering it.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The picture, I wanted to add one thing. One thing I learned also from this, and Pastor Thomas pointed this out, is never assume anything when you're in the mission field. Dominga, the lady that Sarah presented the gospel to, just to the left of her house in the picture was a Baptist church, but she had never heard the gospel before. It's not an Associated Baptist church that we had anything to do with, but you live next door to a Baptist church and they've never presented the gospel to you, something, you know, don't assume that just because of it, that they know.
Sarah, would you like to say anything about encouraging families to go together?
A lot of you know how I had a lot of concerns before we left, but they were ill-found. It was very easy to go to, and there wasn't very many of those bathrooms that Mitch talked about. Not very many at all. Most of the bathrooms were better than here, I think. But I think that the biggest thing for moms out there and bringing your family is just the fact that you're still responsible for your children, and you do have that needing to make sure that they have everything they need, and they're sprayed up with bug spray, and they got the right clothes on. I think, drinking water, that was really the biggest issue. But besides that, it was very easy to take your family, for sure.
Well, thank you all for going, church. Would you give them a hand and praise God for what He's done in their lives? I hope that, you know, you heard from them all the things that God did and the experiences that they had. I want to encourage you, church, to spend some time talking with them, the next weeks and then tonight at our fellowship, if you get the opportunity to have a conversation with them some more about what God did. There's many stories I know that they will want to share with you about it. What I hope that you heard is a couple of things. First of all, the pressing need for us to go. And that's not just to go to Belize, but to go even in our own neighborhood. Of how many times we talked to people down there who had heard the name of Jesus, or had heard about Jesus, who could tell us a few things about Christianity, but who had never heard a clear gospel presentation. And that is so vital to someone coming to faith in Christ and to understanding who He is and what He has done. God's Word tells us in the book of Romans, Paul writes, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." Domingo lived right next door to a church and had no clear understanding of the gospel and what it takes for a person to be saved. It took our team coming from Texas, flying all the way down to Belize to go to her house and speak with her for her to hear the gospel. May God never say that to us at Fairway, that we have failed to reach the people that are around us and that we have failed to take the opportunities that He gives us to go to other places. So in remembering that, I want to encourage you to understand God has called us to go, God has called us to give, God has called us to send so that the gospel can reach those that desperately need to hear it. I want to encourage you, as you've heard their testimony, I want you to sign up and go on these mission trips that we're putting in front of you. Don't let barriers that pop into your mind, I can't go for whatever reason. If there's a barrier that comes up, I want you to talk with us about it. We may be able to find you a way to get over that barrier, whether it's financial, whether it's taking care of something here at home so that you can go. That's what the church wants to do, to help it make it possible for you to go. Dads, husbands, you need to lead your family in this. Lead and go. If you can't take your whole family, let's find a way to try to get you to the field. I want to encourage you to do that. The easiest way that all of us can do it is by reaching our neighbors around this church. And in a couple of weeks, on the 29th of January, we start Project 2411 again. We don't want to be that church beside Dominga. We want to be the church that makes sure our neighbors know who Jesus Christ is and that they hear the gospel. And we want to give you the opportunity to participate in that. So I want you to consider participating in that first semester this year of Project 2411. The way Pastor Thomas is doing it this time is he's doing six-week semesters. And you may think to yourself, I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know how to do what you did where you sat down in these homes and you talk to people, or you stand at someone's doorstep and you share the gospel. Well, Pastor Thomas is going to equip you to do that. He's going to give you what you need. That first day on January 29th will be a time of equipping and preparing you for it. We want all of our members to be able to share the gospel. So what I'm going to ask now is that Brian would come up and the worship team would come with him. Every time that we gather together and God does something in our midst, we want to respond to what He's doing. You've heard testimony from your brothers and sisters and what God did through them in Belize and all the great and wonderful works that He did. You've heard from the Word of God this morning and how Paul pulled together the church and told them what God did on his first missionary journey. And most importantly, what God has said to us through Romans, that in order for someone to be saved, they have to call on the name of the Lord. They have to believe in Him. And in order for them to believe it, they have to hear the gospel. In order for them to hear the gospel, someone has got to take the gospel and speak the gospel to them. And if someone's going to go and speak it, then someone has to be sent. And that someone is you. God is sending you. And so in response to what you've heard this morning, I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things. I want you to pray for Belize. I want you to pray for the work that's there. We're already planning what our next step's going to be down there. So begin praying for that and praying for Project 2411 as we go out in the streets of our own city here in the months ahead. But then I just want you in the quietness of your heart to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning. I know that there's some here that He has said, it's your turn. It's time for you to go. And I want you to be obedient to that call. I want you to listen to what He's saying. And if God has called you this morning, maybe He's called you to go on that short-term mission trip to Baltimore in March, or the others we have offering in the summer and even in the fall, or to go back to Belize with us. I want you to come and let me and Pastor Thomas know that we can pray with you about that and continue to talk with you about it in this year as we go through and get ready for these trips. Let us encourage you in that. But then I also know that God calls some people to sell everything that they own, to get up, and to go to another place and invest their lives among a people group. And I have been praying since the day that I set foot in this church as your pastor that God would call people out from among us to go and to do that. And I'm waiting for the day that someone comes and says, God has called me to go. If that's you, would you let me know so that I can pray with you and help you through that? And our church wants to get behind you and help you and support you. To send one of our own to the nations, what an amazing thing that would be.